The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? Well, Neshoba Brook Bakery in Massachusetts, they were given a warning by authorities who ruled that love cannot be listed as an ingredient in their granola. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration sent a warning letter declaring that love is not a common or usual name of an ingredient. Maybe it should be. And it is considered to be intervening material because it is not part of the common or usual name of the ingredient. Better to add it at home before serving. Well, we love that you tuned in to today's show. After all, this is the month of love, and with Valentine's Day falling in February. And so we welcome you to hour number two of the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. And if you don't get the first hour of the show where you're listening, you can always go to drhealthradio.com. You spell the word doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. And I thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. I am the Snowman, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy as we do it each and every week at this time. And at this time, we had originally scheduled a short interview with our dear friend Geraldine Saunders. She's the creator of TV's Love Boat, for those of you old enough to remember the hit TV series in the 1970s and 80s, Love Boat, and we always have her on in February. But she's not able to be with us because she broke her leg, and we wish her the best. And she's on the mend, still in the hospital, but hopefully she's getting better. You know, she's 94 years old, and so, but she's just a spark plug of energy and enthusiasm, and hopefully we'll have her on in the near future. But who we do have on this hour, our featured guest, is Dr. John Ruckel, from Pacific Pharma Group. And Dr. Ruckel is going to be talking about inflammation and why it's the root of most diseases and many chronic conditions. And so we'll have inflammation information for you and what you can do about it, because so many people are, well, you know, inflammation is often associated with pain and vice versa. And that is often the case. It's a fact. But it can cause problems because people get take prescription medication or over-the-counter medication and have all kinds of side effects and undesirable adverse reactions to some of the drugs they're taking for pain and inflammation. So we'll talk about natural alternatives as well as clearing the air on information on inflammation. All right. Speaking of pain anxiety meds are a deadly mix. This was research. This is from Columbia University Medical Center. Taking opioids to deal with pain while also taking anti-anxiety medication can be a deadly combination. This was they did histories of 13,000 adults who died of an opioid overdose, and they found that more than 6 in 10 had been diagnosed with chronic pain during the last year of their lives, and many also suffered from depression and anxiety, and over half people with chronic pain had been issued prescriptions for both opioids and anti-anxiety drugs like Valium and Xanax in the year they died. Well, this deadly medical combination, it's known to increase the risk of unusually slow and shallow breathing, which is a primary cause of death in the fatal opioid overdoses. So something to be aware of there. All right, let's move on. I got something on flu vaccines. I don't know if I'll have time. I'll come back to that. Let's go to the fitness file. We didn't get to this in the first hour of the program. Staying strong when others need you. Exercise helps caregivers cope. This was a study from Stanford some time ago. They asked 51 women who were lending or tending to loved ones with Alzheimer's to do exercises of their choice. In most cases, it was walking for 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. Well, the result, most of them, actually, they all reported less depression, less stress, more energy, and lower blood pressure during the times of stress. So here's a few tips. Pick an exercise you already know so you don't have to learn anything new. Walk, don't wait, instead of like sitting in waiting rooms. Use that 15 or 20 minutes to walk around the building and make use of the downtime when your loved one is asleep or goes to an adult daycare or something like that. So you got to keep, maintain yourself before anybody else. All right, let's combine the fitness file and sexual health. We've never done this before, but combine the two weekly features together in one feature today, since this is the month of love. We'll do that and talk about sexercise. Here are a few health benefits of sex as it relates to fitness. First, as you may know, you need about 30 minutes to 1 hour a day of physical activity to be really healthy. Even more if you have a job, by the way, that requires more sitting or standing than walking or moving around. So how does having sex count as exercise? Well, according to a French study, the entire act of sex lasts 17 minutes on average from start to finish. Now, the director of, this is Curtin University School of Physiotherapy and Exercise Science, Kevin Netto, says that sex is in the family of moderate exercise. That's what it's considered. That is, it gives your body a short, intense workout that increases both systolic and diastolic blood pressure, causing the heart rate to rise and inducing sweating. Well, according to this expert, although it's a cardio workout, it has to last longer than 17 minutes for maximum fitness benefits. No problem, though, for some people. The problem. It is a problem because for that, it's not enough for a lot of people, or it's not long enough to make a significant impact. But remember, movement is like money. I always say this: a little is better than none. More is better than a little. And so the take-home message is: more sex is probably better than the amount you're having now to improve your health. But any is better than nothing. Okay, let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. Do we have time? Okay. While taking notes with a pen left by a pharmaceutical drug rep on a pad of paper left by another, a patient noticed that the clock in his exam room was branded with the name of a drug company. He said that to the nurse, "My gosh, they have their names on everything, don't they?" The nurse nodded her head yes and replied, "You should see Dr. Kelly's underwear." Okay, branding. All right, let's see. A nurse was giving discharge instructions to a patient. "And most importantly," the nurse said, "be sure to drink plenty of fluids." "Ah," the patient replied, "there's my problem. All along, I was trying to drink solids." Oh, what a wise-ass patient. Okay. And then just one or two more. We'll have to abbreviate this. Do we have one more minute left? No, not really. Okay, well, just one last question. What's the surest way? Oh, okay. What's that? I have a couple of minutes. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Well, we'll save that one for the last. Okay. How to prepare for a mammogram. Now, me being a man, I have never had a mammogram, so I'll just have to refer this to assume this to be true. It says, this is, of course, in jest, open your refrigerator door and insert one breast between the door and the main box. Have one of your strongest friends slam the door shut as hard as possible and lean on the door for good measure. Hold that position for 5 seconds. Repeat with the other breast, and that's how to prepare for a mammogram. Boy, that sounds like a pretty painful diagnostic procedure, if you ask me. All right. Okay, and finally, we got a minute left or two? Two? Okay. Well, about one. I hear the music. All right, so I'll leave you with this question. What's the surest way of looking young at your 40th birthday party, or 50th for that matter? Answer, don't invite anyone under 70. You just invite all your older friends, right? That makes you look young. All right, that's it for this segment of the program. Join us for Dr. John Ruckel. He will have information on inflammation, how to reduce yours, and a lot of other health tips to make you a healthier person. We want to put more life in your years as well as more years in your life, and he will help us do just that. Also coming up later in the program, Dick Allgaier's Health Report. So stick around for hour number two of the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I?
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. David Snow on your radio. It is your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. So let's start this segment of the program with talking about the honor roll. I'm talking about the best hospitals in the United States, according to U.S. News and World Reports, the best medical centers in particular, each hospital nationally ranked. And this is on the basis of performance and, well, 9 different parameters, procedures, conditions, etc. Number one on the list in the top 10, Mayo Clinic. 2 was Cleveland Clinic. You've heard a lot about Cleveland Clinic as well. Johns Hopkins Hospital was number 3. Massachusetts General Hospital, number 4 position. At number 5, UCSF Medical Center, and we broadcast in San Francisco where they are located on 50,000-watt flamethrower KTRB AM860. And then number 6 on the list of the 10 best hospitals and medical centers, University of Michigan Hospital, followed by number 7, Ronald Reagan at UCLA Medical Center. 8 is New York Presbyterian Hospital. 9, another Northern California hospital, Stanford Healthcare, Stanford Hospital in Stanford, California. And finally, number 10, the hospitals of the University of Pennsylvania. And what do you know? Today we have a doctor from the number 1 hospital in America, Mayo Clinic. And he is Dr. John Ruckel, and he's with us to talk about inflammation and how you can reduce yours if it's getting out of hand, which a lot of times it is. You know, your body, there's a reason for inflammation. We'll get into that. But it's just when inflammation goes awry that, you know, problems start, as well as our pain and the feeling of sickness and illness. And so we welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. John Ruckel. How the health are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Yeah, thanks. Hey, thanks for sharing that list. I know that changes a little bit from time to time, but it's nice to hear that the Mayo Clinic was rated up there number 1. I took my internal medicine residency training there, as you mentioned, and it was a wonderful place to learn and to train. I grew up in Southern California, and so the winters were a bit severe, but
You're talking about the winters in Southern California were severe,
no,
right?
No.
Well, depends what you compare it to.
Rochester, Minnesota. Oh. I grew up in Southern California and lived in Rochester, Minnesota for 3 years.
And, oh, my gosh.
And I was done with winter before winter was done with me. But it was a great place to train. Really, I have a lot of good memories of my time there, and it's glad to see that they're continuing to do well.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I've heard that you have some valuable information for us on inflammation, and if you could start by having you give the audience a primer on inflammation in the body, the good, the bad, and the painful, of course. Obviously, there are actual benefits to inflammation, which is why the body induces it in certain, you know, a traumatic illness or injury, acute situations. But when we're in pain, we just want it to go away, of course. But it's not always the case. Or the way you go about it is not always a healthy way about going about it. And that is a lot of people reach for the, you know, they'll bring out the big guns right away, namely the opioids. And then, you know, it's like killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer. So let's first of all set the stage and give us a rundown on inflammation, why we need it, what happens when we get too much of it in our body.
Sure. Well, inflammation, as you mentioned, is actually a normal process, and it's a good thing in a controlled setting. It's a good thing. I mean, if you get an acute infection, well, then inflammation is part of how your immune response helps fight the infection, so you get to it. And the common flu symptoms that we have with fevers and chills and headaches and backaches and muscle aches and a cough and things like that, that's part of an inflammatory response. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty miserable. It's pretty miserable when you're going through it. But it actually is the way that your body gets rid of the virus and limits the damage. And inflammation also can act as kind of a warning sign that you're overdoing it. Like if you're out in the sun and you don't have sunscreen, well, then your skin starts turning red and it's painful. And everybody that's experienced a sunburn would know about inflammation at that level. Mm-hmm. And so on. I mean, people that strain too much with exercise or muscles of some kind, well, then they'll be sore. And again, that's part of a way of your body saying, well, there need to be some limits here, and you need to do something different. So, there's a lot of roles for inflammation that are important.
John, you're fading in and out. Are you walking or something? Or
no.
Okay. All right.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't,
now
I
can hear. We can hear you.
Okay.
Stay right there.
Okay.
don't move
right
a muscle.
Okay. I get inflammation. The problem is when inflammation is out of control.
Okay.
And inflammation can be triggered by lots of things in the environment, and it can attack a target tissues that where there's damage. And there are some of what we call the inflammatory diseases, like rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and diseases like that are a result of inflammation that is out of control and that it affects body's tissues adversely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at a lower ongoing level, there's inflammation that actually affects a lot of organs, including the cardiovascular disease. In February being Heart Month, that's actually one of the things I'd like to talk about today is the role of inflammation in cardiac disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we'd like you to give us as far as the information that will improve our cardiovascular health, both preventatively and in regard to treatment, should anybody already have a pre-existing heart condition or an acute situation. If you heard the PSA that played right before we brought you on, it was on stroke, and we want to make people aware of it because that's the fifth leading cause of death in the United States is stroke. So,
sure. And stroke is basically the same process that leads to heart attacks. It's just that primarily affects the arteries that go to the neck and into the head, so that you get damage to the brain. Whereas a heart attack primarily affects the arteries that go to the heart itself. So if you cut off the blood flow to the heart itself, that's what causes a heart attack. But it's the same process. It's just a different target of arterial bed. So we've known about inflammation and arterial disease for a long time. They were talking about this even back when I was a training in Mayo, and there was a lot of discussion and further elucidation of the mechanisms and so on through the 80s and 90s and so on. When you're born, you have nice, smooth arteries at the endothelium, which is the lining on the inside of the artery is smooth and blood flows nicely without any turbulence and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, as you go along, well, the inflammation is really part of the process of changing that. And typically you start off with some little fatty streaks, and then those build up underneath the endothelium and the wall of the artery, and they get thicker and they get more dense, and then later on they lead to an unstable place where they can rupture, and that can lead to the heart attacks and strokes, and they can reduce the amount of blood flow just because of the narrowing, so that people get the angina type symptoms, and if it's in their legs, what they call claudication, where right. the legs ache. Mm-hmm. When they can't walk very far. Mm-hmm. Well, that we've known for a long time that this process actually starts in childhood and adolescence. When they do autopsy studies on people from either soldiers or people in motor accidents right. or whatever, mm-hmm. even in their twenties, then there's actually a surprising amount of atherosclerosis in people that are younger than what you ordinarily would think of as having coronary artery disease. And inflammation is part of that. There are a lot of different agents that are involved with that process: interleukin-1, TNF-alpha, C-reactive protein, oxidized LDL, and so on. I mean, there's 30, 40 some different intermediate chemicals that are part of the inflammation process. And this is well worked out and recognized in non-clinical models, and there's a lot of clinical support. Even 10 years ago, this was all pretty well understood.
So those are biomarkers that medical professionals use to analyze or assess the state of the patient's health, basically?
Yes, you can draw these things as blood tests, and you can measure them, and when they're up, there's more inflammation. When they're down, there's less inflammation. So, and these vary somewhat. Again, like if you get an acute infection, well, then C-reactive protein, for example, will go up. And if you take something that reduces inflammation, well, then you can lower the TNF-alpha, the interleukin-1, the interleukin-6, the CRP, and so on. So mm-hmm. they are useful markers for what's happening at the cellular and tissue level.
Okay, now what about cholesterol and triglycerides? Because some of the biomarkers or the tests that you just mentioned, people aren't familiar with. You know, the lay public is not too familiar with those. But everybody knows cholesterol.
Sure.
Most people know triglycerides. Are those kind of passé as far as being true markers of the state of cardiovascular health?
No. These things all go together, and oxidized cholesterol, what they call the LDL, the low density lipoprotein, mm-hmm. which is primarily the bad form of the cholesterol. People talk about HDL is the good cholesterol, the LDL is the bad cholesterol. When that LDL is oxidized, that it becomes part of the process of the atherosclerosis, or building up the plaque, the hardening of the artery, and so that's a bad but important part of the whole process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what natural or other means can we use to reduce or eliminate the inflammation that goes on, like you were saying, things that we're not aware of? It's not like you have an acute injury or a blow to the a joint or leg or arm. It's happening internally, and you have no idea what's going on at that level.
Sure. Well, let's think of this, first of all, in terms of the major risk factors that everybody understands. One is genetics. People know that you have a family history of early heart disease, well, then you're at higher risk. Well, mm-hmm. a lot of that has to do with all these enzymes and markers that are involved in inflammation per se. Some people, their inflammation is just easily triggered and gets out of control. Smoking is a well-known risk factor. Well, smoking causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. High blood pressure is a well-known risk factor. Well, high blood pressure, when it's poorly controlled, that puts stress on the walls of the arteries, and that, too, exacerbates inflammation. Mm. Diabetes, when diabetes is out of control, well, then there are a lot of processes in the liver, in the fatty tissue, and elsewhere that lead to an increase in the markers that exacerbate the inflammation. And the high cholesterol, particularly if the low-density lipoprotein, the LDL cholesterol, is high, well, women that too is accompanied with markers and inflammation that come from the liver and that affect the activity on the arterial wall. So all of these things that you think of as traditional risk factors actually are part of the story of inflammation causing damage in the arteries.
All right. Now, on that note, let's take a bottom-of-the-hour break, Dr. Ruckel. And then when we come back, I want to ask you about the CANTOS study. It was a 5-year, 10,000-patient study that really revealed some surprising results, and I want you to share that with us because you were involved in that. And then other diseases linked to inflammation as well as drugs that people use, both drugs and supplements and natural compounds that people use or patients as well as doctors prescribe for some of the conditions that you're elucidating. All right, my guest is Dr. John Ruckel. He's from the Pacific Pharma Group, and we will be back with more information for your good heart health and general health here on Dr. Health with my guest, Dr. John Ruckel. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Snow.
It is The Cure for the Common radio show with David Snow on your radio. A reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. Hey, here's a funny little, it's an excerpt from a medical statement. Let's see. When a medical profession, it's about Nurse Google. You've heard of Dr. Google? Well, there's also Nurse Google. When a medical professional says someone is fine, but Wikipedia has convinced them otherwise, many patients believe the internet. But listen to this. A study by the Journal of the American Osteopathic Association found mistakes in 9 out of 10 Wikipedia entries about major conditions, such as what we're talking about today, hypertension, diabetes, lung cancer, depression, arthritis, and back pain. And Dr. John Ruckel, as a medical physician yourself, what's your opinion on the opinions of what is found on the internet, you know, namely Nurse Google and Dr. Google, where people just access information and they're self-diagnosing themselves?
Quality varies all over the place. Some of those sources are pretty reliable, and some of the things just plain are not. They can be misleading, or they can even be harmful. And part of it is the skill of the searcher to know where to look and how to evaluate for what makes sense for them.
Right.
And I'm saying this as an MD, of course, so my biases are obvious. But even though I think people should research and learn as much as they can, when it comes right down to it, you're better off talking with your doc.
Right, right. Yeah, there's no substitute for that, that's for sure. Now, you were, speaking of studies and research and evidence and information, you were involved in that CANTOS study. Tell us about that. That was a 5-year study with 10,000 patients. It wasn't any small study, that's for sure.
Right. Well, to introduce this a little bit, let me link this in with the comments about cholesterol. We had discussed this a little bit ago. It's known that lowering cholesterol is helpful, but people weren't sure how much was inflammation and how much was cholesterol. There was a large study called the Jupiter study, which enrolled 17,000 patients for several years, and they gave them a rosuvastatin, also known as Crestor. Mm-hmm. And they lowered inflammation, and patients did better. Well, they also lowered the LDL cholesterol, which the statins do. And the combination of those two was better than either one alone. So the practicing physicians basically says, well, let's lower inflammation and lower cholesterol mm-hmm. and not worry about it. We're treating individual patients. But the scientific community wanted to look at this a little bit more specifically. And they wanted to say, well, then can we separate out the role of inflammation from the role of lipids? So they designed this study, CANTOS, that was canakinumab, anti-inflammatory thrombosis outcome study. They have these fancy acronyms for all the studies. So, and like you say, this enrolled over 10,000 patients, people that had heart disease, they had already had a heart attack, and they had a particular marker of inflammation called C-reactive protein that was greater than 2, which had been shown to be a poor prognostic risk factor. And they studied these people for 5 years. And they gave them one of three different doses of the active drug or placebo. And this particular drug is given by injection. You have to get the shot once every 3 months. The drug itself is seems unusual for heart disease. This is a very specific medication that targets one part, a very very narrow single intervention in terms of the part of the inflammation that blocks. It targets what they call interleukin 1 beta. Well, that is effective in lowering inflammation. It has no effect on cholesterol. This is right now, it's FDA approved, but only for certain inflammatory conditions in kids, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, etc. But it was good at lowering inflammation, and so they used it in the study. Well, it turns out after 5 years, when it was all said and done, that by golly, they did lower inflammation. And people that had lower inflammation had fewer heart attacks. The interesting thing about it was that the result had to do with not the dose. I mean, they gave 50, 150, and 300 milligram doses. Some people responded at the low dose, and some people did not respond at the high dose. So what the critical thing was not the dose. The critical thing was the response of lowering inflammation. Mm-hmm. And when they lowered the inflammation, well, then they had substantial decrease in heart attacks. When they did not lower the inflammation, well, then the results were the same as placebo. In fact, they were worse than placebo because there were some side effects from this. It lowered the immunity. It lowered white blood cell count. There were some people that died from infections and so on. So actually, if you didn't respond by lowering inflammation, it was actually worse than getting nothing.
Wow. So are there natural alternatives on this to the prescriptions?
Yes, there are. Yeah, fortunately, there are that are safer and more convenient. And may I mention, less expensive. This particular drug costs $16,000 every dose.
What?
And by the way, it's not covered by insurance.
Oh, isn't that special? Wow. Okay, I'll just sell my house, car, and everything I own, and as well as my soul.
Right. Tell your kids, sorry, no college tuition for you.
Right.
Yes, fortunately, there are. Now, the routine anti-inflammatories we think of today, you think of ibuprofen, you think of celecoxib, you think of prednisone.
Or just natural aspirin, or just the good
or
old...
Just natural aspirin. Yes, those have some anti-inflammatory benefits, but they don't provide the type of benefits that you need to reduce cardiovascular risk. I mean, don't get me wrong. A small dose of baby aspirin a day has been shown to reduce overall risk. That's through a different mechanism. That reduces platelets stickiness and prevents the actual clot that leads mm-hmm. up to strokes and heart attack. That's a different process. But the broad interventions for reducing inflammation are not done by those products. works very well. And there can be side effects. I mean, like with prednisone, which people use for arthritis and asthma and certain other conditions, it lowers some of these inflammatory markers, but there are a lot of side effects with long-term use. Mm-hmm. So actually, there is a product that is convenient. You can take it orally. It's safe. It's well-tolerated. And I say this because there's been a great deal of experience with it. And this is a product that actually comes from nature, and that's astaxanthin.
Sure.
Astaxanthin, astaxanthin. A lot of people in Hawaii are familiar with this because it's in the food chain. This is the stuff that is in salmon.
Mm-hmm. It gives the salmon color, makes it pink orange, right?
That's what gives them the endurance to swim upstream and spawn. Mm-hmm. It's also in shellfish, and people don't think of it, but that's also why flamingos are pink.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Astaxanthin. So mm-hmm. it's that color, that pink color. It's in mahi and so on. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a natural part of the food chain, from microalgae that goes through krill and then up through the food chain, and people eat that. Well,
right.
people have been eating astaxanthin for a long time, and they've been getting a lot of benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out this actually is helpful, and you can take even modest amounts of supplements. I mean, 12 milligrams, 24 milligrams, a couple times a day. This is powerful at reducing C-reactive protein. It's powerful at reducing the TNF-alpha. It's powerful at reducing the IL-1, IL-6. It's powerful at reducing a host of those markers of inflammation. And there's a lot of good evidence in animal models that the case, and we have some clinical trials. They're not large trials. They're not 10,000 people for 5 years.
Right.
But there are clinical trials where this has been assessed, and we find out that there's a lot of benefit.
Mm-hmm. And the there's one that you were involved in, the xanthosin, which is it's up to three times more biologically available. Is that it, or three times as active as some of the other astaxanthins on the market?
Correct. Yeah, we did that study. That was a clinical trial we did with individuals. The study was actually done in San Diego, and I was the investigator for that and the consultant for that. So, and it's just like you say, we gave formulations of xanthosin versus other products, and it turns out for the same 12 milligram capsule, well, then you got three times as much of the astaxanthin in your bloodstream as you did with the other products.
So not only is it inexpensive, but it's a lot more effective if you take, say, xanthosin
right.
versus some of the other
right.
brand
right.
X's.
Right. Right. So I personally have been using xanthosin ever since it was available. That was about August of a little over a year ago, August
right.
of 2016. And the instructions on the bottle said to take one capsule once or twice a day. Well, there's nothing wrong with taking more than that. In fact, in general, more is better. I take two capsules twice a day. And by the way, you should take it with food. It's best absorbed into the body if there's other food that is being digested and absorbed across from the intestinal tract, and then it goes into the liver and then on through the body from there. So you get much better absorption if it's with or immediately following a meal than if you take it on a totally empty stomach.
Now, you know, a lot of our listeners out there in Radio Land, the thousands of people that listen to this program, are saying, oh, can I take it with my coffee, Dr. Ruckel? Or can I just drink it with juice? You know, but isn't it a fat-soluble antioxidant? Aren't you going to get better absorption with food?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking it with coffee. I'm one of those guys that takes two cups of coffee every morning. So, hey, true story. But I generally take my xanthosin along with my breakfast a little bit later.
Yeah, right.
So, something that has a little bit of substance, particularly a little bit of a fatty ingredients to it. Like if you just had, say, a grapefruit, well, you're not going to get maximum absorption.
That's
even
right.
though that's not an empty stomach.
Yeah.
You don't get the kind of digestive products that help bring this into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, Dr. Ruckel, if I could interject here, regarding supplements, and that is they're supplements, not substitutes for a good diet and good healthy foods. I mean, you can't take supplements and replacement or in place of food. You want to take it in addition to the food. It's kind of like the spark plugs in your car engine. They ignite the fuel and make everything run better, but they're not the fuel themselves.
Right, so. Correct. That's absolutely right. So, yeah, a good, healthy, diversified diet. It should be relatively low in fat, high in fiber, low glycemic index, mm-hmm. A lot of vegetables, whole grains, lean meats, fish. These are the kinds of things that have been shown to be helpful. In fact, just that kind of a diet, some people call it an Okinawa diet or a Mediterranean diet, depends on the exact mix of vegetables and whatnot. But those things are they also have antioxidants,
yeah,
a variety of
exactly.
other antioxidants in them. And so they're complementary with the xanthocin. And those things also lower C-reactive protein. They also help provide some of these benefits. And you can maximize the benefit of your supplement by eating a healthy diet.
And what you just mentioned is or described is an anti-inflammatory diet. You know, the fish, the vegetables, the fruits, and then it's also what you avoid as much as it is what you're ingesting or consuming. And that is, you know, you want to lay low on the saturated fat meats and. You know, the thing is sugars and refined foods that cause inflammation in the body. So no sense taking the ingesting the poison and then taking the antidote, which would be the xanthocin or the astaxanthin, as you mentioned. So
Right.
So, okay, we need to take just one last break to keep the lights on here for Dick Allgaier's Health Report. And when we come back, I want to ask you about opioids and how this possibly could take the place as far as pain relief. And then we'll talk about the other applications that astaxanthin can be beneficial for in the body. So my guest is Dr. John Ruckel from Pacific Pharma Group. And we will be back with more information for your good health here on Dr. Health Radio, but stay tuned now for this week's health report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
Time now for the health report from veteran TV newscaster Dick Allgaier. This feature is brought to you by Hawaiian Organic Noni, the makers of Noni Fruit Leather and Lavender Noni Lotion. Available at health stores and pharmacies or by going to realnoni.com. Now, Dick Allgaier and this week's health report.
High exposure to radio frequency radiation, the radiation known as RFR, emitted from your cell phone, causes a rare cancer in male rats, according to conclusions released by the National Institutes of Health. They exposed both male and female rats to high levels of RFR, and that showed increased patterns of damage to their heart tissue. Scientists caution that the rats get more exposure than most people do using their phones, but the tumors they saw in these studies are similar to tumors previously reported in some studies of frequent cell phone users. A new study says jittery postal workers who tentatively approach homes worried they could be bitten by the resident dog are in fact inviting attack. Researchers from the University of Liverpool discovered people of an anxious disposition are far more likely to be bitten by dogs than people with more relaxed demeanors. This is the first study to suggest that people's personalities can influence dog attacks. Being good at sex isn't as complicated as people often think, according to the annual Singles in America survey funded by Dallas-based dating service Match and conducted by Research Now. 83% of singles, regardless of sexual orientation, ranked a caring and enthusiastic partner as the top two indicators of good sex. Other ingredients that lead to good sex are communication, a good kisser, and someone who helps them achieve orgasm, according to the study. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat?
then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common Radio Show. David Snow with you. Thanks for staying with us here on the program. Hey, if a terrorist organization was killing 175 Americans a day on American soil, what would we do to stop them? You bet we'd do everything and anything we could. Yet the opioid crisis that has been killing that many people in the U.S. for decades, past couple decades, is showing no signs of letting up, and it seems like we're losing the war. So let me just read this excerpt from a scientific magazine, and then we'll get Dr. John Ruckel back on talking about opioids and pain relief and some of the alternatives that we can access to possibly help to reduce this opioid epidemic. But they say, here's a letter published in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 1980. Now, this was the part of the problem. I mean, this is the basis of why we have such an epidemic, because it was looked at as a benign drug back then. So it comes in for a special criticism here, because entitled the article in the New England Journal was entitled "Addiction Rare in Patients Treated with Narcotics," and it briefly described how over 11,000 hospital patients were given opioids. Only 4 became addicted. Well, the authors gave little information on how, where, why, or even what drugs were administered, but the letter was subsequently cited more than 600 times. And I'll just read a little other excerpt here to give you, set the stage here. The commission also mentions an influential 1986 paper in the journal Pain that recommended opioid therapy for patients with chronic pain. Both articles, it says, were unsubstantiated and poor quality, but both were exploited by patient advocacy groups to promote the idea that opioids posed minimal risk of addiction. What's your take on this, Dr. Ruckel?
Well, it's unfortunate that those things made it into print, and it's extremely unfortunate that they were used and actually misused as they were. They were promoted by some of the pharmaceutical companies to encourage the prescription of opiate products, and people kind of bought into it. I mean, when you're hurting and you have something that makes the pain less, well, you say, okay, and particularly if the doctor says, well, this really won't cause long-term problems, well, then you say, okay. But actually, it turns out that was just plain not true.
That was just not
true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is a huge problem. You might start off with taking 2 or 4 tablets a day. When you actually have an acute injury or you're after or post-surgery or there's some reason why you would have acute pain. But then that goes into chronic pain, and your body develops tolerance, and your requirements go up, and then suddenly you're taking 8, 12, 20
That's
tablets
right.
a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's out of control. It's out of control at that point. And I fault the industry. I fault my colleagues. I fault the checks and balances that the profession should have done to police itself more effectively early. It's tragic that so many people's lives were hurt the way they were through this crisis.
Right. Unfortunately, President Trump has, he's recognized this and appointed a nonpartisan commission, a scientifically literate commission, capable of analyzing the issue and then formulating the response, and hopefully, you know, that's in place as we speak. So we're turning the tide, and I know all of us want to do that because we all either know or have read about all the unfortunate cases of, you know, lives being, well, either lost, which is the worst case scenario, but also just turned upside down from this opioid epidemic. And so my question, what I'm leading into, is how do natural compounds like astaxanthin, although they're not as strong as morphine or fentanyl or any of the other heavy-duty painkillers, how does this play into that? And maybe if people are on the in the beginning stages of a chronic pain situation or disease, maybe they don't have to necessarily resort to the big gun, so to speak, at later stages of their disorder.
Right. Well, the opiates that really are poor anti-inflammatory agents, the main way they act is to block or to modulate the pain signal from the periphery on up through the spinal cord and into the brain and the centers in your brain that interpret pain. So they primarily work on blocking those pathways. So to have something that works to reduce inflammation at the tissue level helps prevent the signals of pain that then the opiates are intended to act the farther upstream. So if we can lower the inflammation and lower the pain signals that come from the tissues, well, then that in of itself is a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I got to tell you a personal case of an acute situation where I used the xanthosin, the astaxanthin you're talking about, that was done in the studies. And that is, in recent past, you know, there was the eclipse, and I woke up early in the morning to see if I could see it out in the night sky. Anyway, getting back into bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had all the lights off, and it was completely dark. And I had never done it before, but I hit my just above my eye on my forehead. Right on the corner of my dresser, which is right next to my bed.
Oh, my.
I mean, just it almost knocked me out. I almost saw stars after I saw the moon, you know, and I thought, oh, this is not good. But I remember just days before that talking with you on the phone, and you said that you take four a day because you've been an elite athlete and everything. And so for more therapeutic application, and I've only been taking one a day of the xanthosin, the 12 milligram potency you were talking about earlier. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to double up. And, you know, just in a few days, I thought, you know, this thing is going to really swell up big time because, I mean, it's the hardest I've ever hit my head. And there was almost no swelling and inflammation. And would it act that fast?
Well, it can. Yes, it can. It doesn't act in 5 minutes.
Right.
It takes a little while to get into your body, but then it circulates throughout the body, and it provides ongoing action for actually quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if people, just to review the dose and potency and frequency, so 12 milligram is the study dosage, so you want to do the, and the xanthosin, by the way, is available at all the GNC stores, any GNC, there's thousands of them. They're like Starbucks, only healthy. you can, if you're interested in the xanthosin that Dr. Ruckel's talking about, it's available at any GNC. But okay, so 12 milligrams, one a day would be a starting dose or just a maintenance dose, and then, as you were saying, you take two twice a day.
Well, and there's, you know, there have been a number of studies with animals, I mean, monkeys and rats and dogs and so on, where they give large amounts for long periods of time, and there's no toxicities, unlike most of the pharmaceuticals that I study.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst thing that happens is that the muscles start turning salmon pink after a while. Well, don't ask me what it tastes like. I don't want to go there. But that it just shows that this can build up substantial levels in the body, and there's no tissue damage. In fact, it's actually beneficial. I mean, it's consistent with liver health, with kidney health, with joint health. And people that have heart disease often have other things. Maybe their blood pressure is high. Maybe they have diabetes. Maybe their cholesterol is high. Well, it's actually helpful for these things. Now, understand, the FDA has an approval approve statements or claims for these particular things. But when you look at the mechanisms of how this works at the tissue level and the evidence that we have available, well, then we can see why it makes sense that it would be helpful for a whole panel of things. And if people challenge themselves, I think they'll find more of a difference. Like if you feel pretty good and you're just going about your usual day and you take some, well, then you probably won't feel a difference. But if you paddle, if you run, if you do something to push yourself, well, then you will feel a difference. Mm-hmm. Just a shout out to all the paddlers out there. I lived in Hawaii 13 years. I paddled. I love paddling.
As a matter of fact, let me just tell on you and say that you did the Molokai race, the Molokai Ho'e, nine times, I believe.
Nine times. I missed that.
Okay, so and for our California listeners, Dr. Ruckel, if you could just tell us how many miles, because I did it once in 1975, but for you to do it nine times, it's 40 miles?
Well, the way the albatross flies, it's maybe 41 miles. You actually follow the currents in the path, and it's probably 43, 44, whatever, because right. you never cross an exact straight line. Mm-hmm. But that's just no engine, no sail. This is just six guys in the canoe, one stroke after another, all the way across.
Right.
It's awesome. Actually, it's awesome. And I run. I mean, I run half marathons. I run marathons. I've taken up mountaineering since I moved back to Washington to be with my kids and grandkids.
Uh-huh.
So if you challenge yourself physically, you will find that it makes a large difference in what you're able to do and your recovery and how you feel.
Yeah. A lot of triathletes take it as a competitive edge. And so now the word's out that so if you don't take it, you're at a competitive disadvantage because if all your your peers are taking it, then they're going to have the edge over you. So whether you're a weekend warrior or a competitive athlete or an Olympian, we're going to actually be talking to an Olympian next week. But anyway, it's good for you no matter how active or sedentary you are. Of course, if you're active, you'll feel more of a difference from the xanthosin or the astaxanthin, right?
Right. Yeah, and I'm just kind of a regular guy. But I ran four half marathons this last year, and I got fourth and a bronze and two golds in my age group. So, you know, I think
you're in your middle early's already, aren't you?
I'm almost 67.
So, oh my gosh! Wow. I thought you were younger than me. Okay.
But I'm thankful that I can do what I do. But I'm convinced. I'm absolutely convinced that this provides me benefit every day, and I plan on taking this for life.
Well, great. Well, thanks for being there as you are and doing all the research you do. Keep it up. Keep up the good work, Dr. Ruckel, and please keep us updated on the xanthosin and the astaxanthin research that you're doing. Okay.
Okay, you bet.
All right, there goes Dr. John Ruckel, and here we go with another edition of the program. Thanks so much for joining us next week. All of our regular features as well, The Fitness File, Funny Bone Pharmacy, Matters of Sexual Health, and Dick Allgaier's Health Report. Until next week, thank you so much for joining us. I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha, have a healthy week.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.